Welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Khadijah.
And I'm Catherine, and we're actually going to talk about something true crime related today. It's been a while.
We're going to be talking about HBO's McMillions. If you're not familiar with the documentary, it is about the Monopoly game at McDonald's, and apparently there was some fraudulent shit going on. I had no fucking clue that any of this happened.
None.
Until this documentary came out.
It's
but
actually,
I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I was getting free fries and milkshakes and shit, and I didn't give a shit.
When Khadijah and I were in high school, I actually drove us. She complained about my driving the entire time, but I drove us to McDonald's.
That sounds about right.
Paid in all change. I had rolls of quarters in my bag, and we bought some McNuggets, and we played Monopoly. I'm pretty sure we got a free drink while we were there.
Probably. That kind of kept me, like, subdued. Like, I honestly didn't care about winning the money.
No.
Plus, I also
it was kind of like
18.
That Zach and Cody sweepstakes for Danimals. Did anybody ever win that?
Someone actually
anybody?
Did win it. And, like, someone went on, like, Instagram and was just like, yeah, I got to meet, like, all these people and blah, blah, blah. And they had, like, pictures and shit. I'm sure there's a Reddit thread for it. But anyways, we kick off this documentary with basically a big old cup of nostalgia. It's pretty much just all of the commercials, Monopoly commercials, just like back to back. And
they also put a lot of 90s music in this documentary,
yes,
just
do.
Randomly interjected in there.
Of course. I mean, they pretty much are running these songs during their commercials because they were just like, it's popular. It's the 90s. And
this is how we do it.
Yes. Hopefully Montel Jordan will not copyright us. But it just kind of reminds me of, like, just the Monopoly game. I mean, it's gone now, like, for...
Is it? I feel like they'll bring it back, especially now that this is popular. Now that this docuseries has come out, maybe they'll bring it back one more time.
They'll probably put them on, like, Szechuan sauces or something. Anyways, the game was extremely popular. You could win a number of large prizes and a number of, like, smaller prizes, which was, like, the shakes and the fries and the burgers and stuff. So there was opportunity for everybody. But anyways, we start off in Jacksonville, Florida in 2001, and we meet Chris Graham, who was a former squad supervisor for the FBI. And he pretty much tells us that he was leading a squad of 12, and they're pretty much focusing on white-collar crimes. And this is where we meet Catherine's favorite person in this
Doug
whole documentary.
Matthews. I'm in love with him. He's my favorite person out of anything we've covered so
yes.
far.
He's very eager.
He's basically a newbie in Jacksonville, which they told him on his way there that he was going to be super bored. And they're mostly, like, investigating insurance mm-hmm. fraud. And so one day he walks into his superior, Rick Dent's office. And basically he just sees this little sticky note on his desk that says, McDonald's Monopoly fraud? ? And he's like, snatches it off the computer and is like, let me follow this up. And basically he calls the informant, who tells him about this guy named Uncle Jerry.
And a whole bunch of other tea. And he's just like, oh.
So then he goes back to Rick, who's like, okay, now that you figured this out, let me just...
Yeah, let me go ahead and take this from
you. Let's run it.
Pretty much after Doug talks to Rick, he's just kind of like, we're going to work on this together, of course. And, I mean, that's when they start really looking into what was happening and just kind of, like, looking at all of the winners and stuff. And they go to talk to pretty much all of, like, their higher-ups and stuff, and they're just like, well, you need to go talk to the DA before you talk to us because we need to, like, actually have someone validate that this is worth our time.
There's
going
to have to be a prosecutor for anything to move forward.
Also, we've never dealt with something like this before, so we don't even really know, like, what to do. But also, like, is this really, like, a crime against humanity that we really need to put at the top of our list? Or is this just, like, kind of something we can put off for a little bit? Because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of other things in the world that are going on
way
that are,
more
like,
important.
Yeah, more important for the FBI. But anyways, Mark pretty much takes it to the DA, and that's when we meet Mark Devereaux, and he is the U.S. attorney. Mark is pretty skeptical of kind of taking this on, but once he is shown, like, the pattern of family members that start winning, because all these people were pretty much winning, and they were just, like, it was, like, stepbrothers, it was, like, sister-in-laws,
like,
brothers-in-laws.
Married with, like, didn't change your last name. And
they're,
then,
like, yeah, they're pretty much married into the family, so it was just people with different last names.
Lots of divorces, family, friends, whatever.
So, once they started noticing that, he was just like, we're gonna have to definitely look into this, and that's when they start doing a timeline.
How many suspects do we have? We have to figure out who makes the cups, who makes the fry box, who makes these game pieces that you would pull off? How many people are in this chain, there's all kinds of possibilities. This could be the driver, delivery people, people in the factory, or even, you know, somebody in corporate at McDonald's. We didn't close out anyone. So there reached a point where there was a ton of questions, but it was, I mean, very difficult to pursue that further without putting some action to it. There wasn't a lot of like, let me just, you know, at the time, get on the internet and do something. There wasn't a lot of that.
Okay, so they're just still trying to piece this together. They really don't know which way they should go. They're not sure if it's like the distributors, McDonald's themselves, a delivery driver.
There are just so many hands involved in this that they're just kind of like, okay, well, it exchanges a lot of hands, but like, where, who can we trust? Can we even trust the corporate McDonald's people? Can
we trust, call them about this?
Yeah, like who knows, like, who is involved in this? Because it kind of seems like it's a larger chain of people rather than just like one person at the top or one person at the bottom or like a delivery driver. Like, a lot of people have to be involved. But at the same time, they also don't know how the game is run. So they're just kind of like, well,
yeah, we're gonna have to fly some people out. We're gonna have to take a risk. We're gonna have to bring some people in.
Yeah, and McDonald's, of course, they're just like, well, we'll tell McDonald's a little bit and we'll only talk to a few people and then it has to be very hush hush. But it's just kind of like, if we tell the wrong person, then like our investigation is pretty much fucked. But they ended up, you know, getting people from McDonald's to come down. They got three people to come down and they like took them on a tour of Jacksonville. And then they were just like, so this is what's up. And they're just like, we just need answers from you, McDonald's.
We got to the FBI office. Took them up to the conference room. You know, you're evaluating their body language or whether they're twitching. Are they genuine? Are they legitimate? Or is there, you know, is there something else going on here? At that point, we did not know if McDonald's was involved. Every organization can have a bad apple.
This part of the investigation was extremely boring to me. Like, I don't want anything to do with this. Call me when it's over, Rick, right? And which was sort of my MO a lot of times, way too slow for me. But I was, no, you gotta be here for that. And so I think I showed up, I might've had a gold suit on.
Doug Matthews, you know damn good and well that you did have a gold suit on. How are you gonna say, I might've had a gold suit on? That is plausible deniability at best. But yeah, so he pops in there. We're still just kind of trying to figure out, you know, how everything's going. And then there's this motherfucker waltzing in a gold suit.
I mean, he's just like a big goofball. But anyways, they're just trying to kind of get a feel for the McDonald's people. And then they just kind of start laying out facts. And that's when they start telling them the names of the past winners and start like literally doing like the string and the fucking push
like, pins. Like Charlie Day's character from
I don't know where everyone, meme. Like everyone always mentions like that meme. And I'm just like, it's not like it hasn't been done way before him.
I know, but him and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is just like hilarious.
But yeah. Yeah, they pretty much start piecing the puzzle together and they're just sitting there like surprise Pikachu face like, what?
Not surprise Pikachu face.
They're like, damn, yo, that's crazy. Like, I had no clue that this was happening. And they're like, no shit.
No shit.
Like, but anyways, this is when they kind of tell them everything and just let them have the full tea.
Devereaux's putting it right on the whiteboard there. What, did you know this? Do you know this? Brothers, sisters, cousins, mother, daughter, that type of thing.
This person is married to this person's daughter. And the names, the last names were all different. And I remember it was literally jaws on the table. They just could not believe it.
Even though we had it looked like our corporate victim here of McDonald's, are they truly a victim? I mean, there's always that. And so there was more information there that I would have probably put out there. Certainly enough for them to see, wow, yeah, we have an issue.
Everybody agreed.
So now without any kind of shadow of a doubt, they're like, all right, this is really fucked up. Let's get to the bottom of this.
And I mean, the FBI is just kind of like, we can only, you know, talk to a few people about this. When you go back to McDonald's corporate, like, you can let only a few people know, and they have to be in correspondence with us, and we need names and all the information.
And lucky enough, they're about to run another game.
So opportunity is, like, you know, great, but they're not running Monopoly this time. They're running, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
McDonald's has multiple games, but
they even did Scrabble, apparently.
Yeah, they did Scrabble. I don't remember the Scrabble one, but I do definitely remember Monopoly being, like, their biggest hit. And this is kind of when we start to meet some people from McDonald's. And we meet Rob Holm, and he's the director of global security at McDonald's. Which I was just kind of like, why would they need global security? But I was like, they do have a lot of stores. And I mean, they are, like, a
Fortune 500. They give us the breakdown, and in my notes, I said, damn, there's way too many McDonald's in the world.
Yeah, I mean, they're all over the world. They do need global security. I mean, the fact that it's just, like, one person that it kind of comes down
to. But also, the fact that their head of global security was shocked that the game was compromised kind of made me be like, sir, are you really in a good job position? Because...
Oh, yeah.
Like... What? Of course it's going to be compromised. For
them, yeah, it's compromised. I mean, I don't think that they were surprised that it got compromised. They're just wondering how the fuck it managed to get compromised without them getting any red flags.
It was just funny to me because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
All right.
So he pretty much talks about how McDonald's starts to get involved and handle the situation.
Rigged? I was hesitant to do that. Obviously concerned that if this game is rigged, customers are not even going to get a chance to win $1 million.
I think we were naive to think that they would agree right then and there and, you know, we'd be off to, you know, off and running. These promotions were, of everything McDonald's, one of the bright spots. You know, I remember the Mad Cow, and at that time, McDonald's was, you know, struggling with some image things.
Concern over Britain's so-called Mad Cow disease spread late today to McDonald's restaurants.
First Mad Cow, now this.
McDonald's and you. McDonald's and you. Sharing good
time. The most important thing for McDonald's is their brand name. They're a family restaurant that can be trusted. Their golden arches are part of America.
So McDonald's was pretty much just kind of like, we need to handle this internally and do an internal investigation. They didn't want the customers to lose faith in the integrity of their game.
Yeah, because they really didn't want to run it. Yeah. Now that they know that there's something up, they didn't want to run it. But eventually they do concede. Of course. And they're like,
and they
okay.
don't know where the leak is. It could be at any point. It could be from corporate. It could be, honestly, an employee at the lowest level. So they really don't know where or how this is being compromised. So they're just kind of like, well, I mean, we really don't have a choice. We kind of need to let the FBI do their thing. So they invite the FBI to their headquarters for a big meeting. And I mean, they pretty much are just like, well, let's get down to the bottom of it and let's track to see how this game could have been rigged. And, you know, McDonald's, everybody there is a suspect. So they can only tell them half of, like, the stuff.
But
this is when they pretty much open up to the FBI and they're just like, okay, this is exactly how the Monopoly game works behind the scenes.
They wanted a promotion for the adult. I'm Richard White. Started at Simon Marketing in 1981.
The game Monopoly has come to life at McDonald's.
The Monopoly game, we designed that game, and it was running once a year.
A $2 million grand prize. Play Monopoly.
It was a ridiculous amount of increase in McDonald's business, like 40% when we ran the game. People love collecting.
The Monopoly promotion is much like the Monopoly game you would have at home. Customers try to match game pieces like Boardwalk and Park Place.
They had their cards and it'd be full, but they'd be missing a piece and a piece and a piece and a piece and a piece because those were the winning pieces.
And there was low-value pieces that you could win, food items, beverages, and then some of the high-value pieces, homes, vehicles, and $1 million.
So basically, McDonald's, to win the Monopoly, you could basically collect pieces and get all of it like Monopoly, or you could win an instant prize winner. You could do all kinds of different things. And so they legally weren't gambling. You could walk in there and just ask for pieces,
which I had
no idea either.
But I mean, it makes sense. It gives everyone an equal opportunity to be able to win prizes and things like that. Especially if I was homeless, I probably would just be like, can I get a prize piece so I could like get food and shit?
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so they pretty much explain like, you know, how you're able to get all of these things. You can also get them in magazines, like in the centerfold and stuff. But they, you know, pretty much go back to the FBI and they're trying to come up, they're trying to start off this investigation. They're trying to come up with a name. And like, after a lot of bad puns and like a really, you know, shitty McDonald's jokes, they come up with Operation Final Answer, which honestly, they could have done so much better.
Something with a Hamburglar would have been perfect. Hamburglared would have been perfect.
Yeah, there's just a lot of so things that they could have gone with. But anyways, it's their
investigation. Ronald McDonald. I don't know.
Okay, that was a reach.
That was dumb. It's okay. It's still better than Operation. What is it? Final Answer. That sounds like it sounds like fucking Hitler's Final Solution. Like that's a horrible name.
But the reason why they chose it is because of the Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah,
and they asked you, is that final answer?
Yeah,
and that's why they named it that. But anyways, they while they're working on that, Doug is pretty much trying his damnedest to go undercover.
I love him. So
he is just like, I'm going to shoot my shot until like they tell me you're fired. So
like, just let me stick on a fake mustache and some like weird aviators and walk around. I want to be undercover. Damn it.
Of course. And they keep shooting him down. And then finally, one day, McDonald's calls the FBI and they have their first winner.
I think he worked as a pit boss at a casino. So I guess he would have been familiar with gambling and sweepstakes and whatnot.
Rick wanted to try to do the wiretap. It's called a Title III investigation. It's the wiretap investigation got up. And, you know, you're sitting, you're not really doing anything, and that's a boring situation for me. I don't know how many poems I can write on a piece of paper to get through it.
Doug, will you please write me a poem, please? I just would like one. But anyways, so they basically have they basically have a fish on a hook now that they have a winner. It's okay, let's see. Is this legitimate? Is this rigged? Like, did this guy actually win this $1 million?
Oh, yeah. And this is when Doug, who cannot be contained, he comes up with a pretty good plan.
It's ingenious.
I said, I think this is a great opportunity for an undercover investigation where we do this TV commercial of the winners, like Publishers Clearing House, jumping up, telling us how they won these and what they did with it, that kind of thing. So we can do that with Hoover. You know, we're the production company. That's how this could roll. He's like, Matthews, who's going to do this? You going to do it? Because I'm not doing it. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. He goes, well, you don't know anything about that. And I said, I'm going to be the director because they don't do shit. And then I'm going to get McDonald's to give me their public relations. That's all I said. And Rick goes, wait a minute. If we're going to do anything, we're going to need SAC authority.
I'm Tom Kinnear. I was the special agent in charge of the Jacksonville office of the FBI. In each office, you have the SAC for the office. That's the special agent in charge. And then you have squads. Most of the contact is usually with the squad supervisor.
My inner film nerd is obsessed with this idea, and especially the moment when Doug says, I'm going to be the director, because directors don't do shit.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, like, I honestly wish that this was an option more often during investigations, because you literally have everything on tape.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they pretty much go and talk to the special agents in charge, and they think that Doug is crazy, but they're just like, he is very enthusiastic about this, and honestly, his idea really isn't that shitty, so why the fuck not?
So one day, over the loudhead speaker, like, he's in high school, they call his name over the office, and
he thinks he's in trouble, of course, because nobody goes to the SAC.
And when he walks in there, it's literally, like, everybody. Like, it's, like, Rick Dent, and it's, like, Mark Devereaux, and it's the SAC. It's everybody.
Boss, like,
and he's just this new guy that's just, he does not, like, he clearly does not fit in. You can just tell, even by the way he is, like, 20 years years later that he, like, I think he's just kind of,
I think they're just like, he hasn't had his spirit broken, so like, we'll just let him live his best life. But I think that
he's definitely that like the young, excited one.
Yeah. He thinks like the FBI is like everything in the movies. Like, that's kind of what he reminds me of.
Yeah.
But they pretty much are just kind of like, fine, you can do it. But the only problem is they don't have very many undercover agents in Jacksonville. So they're just like, Doug, you're going to do it. And it's very Miss Congeniality, Sandra Bullock, like, to me, like, he's getting prepared to go undercover. He has no clue what he's doing. And they feel that Doug will, like, really succeed because he is such a character. And they're just like, let's expedite this undercover training. And this is when we meet Janet. And she is the undercover coordinator in Jacksonville. And she pretty much taught Doug everything that he knew. But she definitely was eager to work with him because she was just like, he's like a blank slate. I can just mold him however I want. Shouldn't say it like that.
He's a natural actor. They basically just kept pulling on his abilities.
Of course. And that's when they also come up with the Shamrock Productions. And their tagline is, because you're just lucky, which I'm just like, the puns. This is way better than The Final Answer. But
it also really, really made me want a Shamrock Shake.
I didn't crave one at that moment, but now I do. but yeah, they make their fake production company, and they need one lucky person from McDonald's to pretty much head their team just to have a little bit of insight. And that person, unfortunately, is Amy.
And it's been years since I've talked to anyone. So, in fact, I don't really tell the story that much because, you know, how do you drop into conversation that you're part of an FBI investigation? Back in 2001, I was in the communications department. I had only been working on Monopoly and games for about 6 months. My boss's boss called me into his office and he was like, Amy, the FBI has contacted us. They've told us that the game pieces are being stolen and that the entire game may be compromised by a criminal ring. And if you can imagine, I was completely shocked. You know, I felt sick to my stomach. To break that trust was just devastating. How could this possibly happen? I started thinking back to all the answers that I've heard from Monopoly winners in the past, and it did seem like they were almost scripted. Hindsight's 20/20, and I started to realize that it did seem like there was a pattern. You know, I used that word pattern, and I think that was when the FBI really said it would be great to talk to Amy directly, since she has so much contact with the winners.
If I was Amy, I would talk about this all the time. I don't know who she's trying to fool by saying that she doesn't get to talk about it often, but if I was ever involved in an investigation... I guess
she couldn't talk about it for so long that she was just like, I mean, how do I bring this up in like casual conversation? But Amy, she's pretty much immediately like super shocked whenever she hears this out. Plus, she's only been working there for not like long. 6 months.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like, oh my goodness, like they're completely right.
When she's I was like, the wait, winners, wait, wait.
Yeah, she's like, wait a minute. And she's like, I've talked to like majority of these people and this is just crazy.
Especially later when we hear from one of the winners, you realize just how like horrible they are at lying and how scripted their stories are.
Oh yeah. And she's just kind of like, I don't really know what to do. Like, I can't really share this information with anyone. Like, people at McDonald's headquarters were just kind of like, oh, like, you know, Amy, you're working on a big project, which they knew that she was working on, but they had no clue what it was. And she was just kind of like, I don't know what to do. Like, how do I just kind of like live my life while I'm a part of this fucking FBI investigation?
She's like, I thought I was just gonna like celebrate with people that like won this game and like. Everything now here great. I am, like, trying to expose them for being like, fraud.
Yeah, she's, like, had a great time meeting all these people, talking to them, doing press runs with them and all that stuff. And, like, now she's just having to, like, burst her bubble, like, every fucking time because these people are liars and they're fraudulent.
And you don't know what to expect as an agent. You know, you want to carry a gun and wear a bulletproof vest, but in a situation like this, an undercover operation, that may be too much risk. You can wear an ankle holster and then... You know, and then you sit down at a chair and somebody sees it, so.
You had that little extra antenna going up to make sure you don't say anything or do anything that would trigger the suspect to look at you crossways and go, oh,
I had butterflies in my stomach. I was nervous about not wrecking the investigation. You know, I really wanted to make sure I did a good job, that I wasn't causing any suspicion. It's an adrenaline that happens through your system. You know, you feel fully awake and alive.
But anyways, this is when we finally get to meet Mr. Hoover, who is our first winner.
You mean loser, but anyways. I'm obsessed with how much footage they actually have of everything due to the fact that they use the production company.
Oh yeah, they pretty much are just like literally locked and loaded with everything that they need. And everyone's pretty nervous, and there's like a really sweet moment between Doug and Amy, and she's just like, I can't do this, like this is like ridiculous, like how am I supposed to keep my cool? And he's just like, you've done this a million times before, just act like how you normally do and let us do our job, like just do what you need to do, ask them the same questions, and if we need to lead, then we'll lead, but you got this. And I mean, she was just like, okay. But in the back of her mind, of course, she's just she's like, freaking these out. People are fucking liars!
They're so adorable because it's like 17 years ago. It's like super 90s. Yeah. Like Doug and Amy are so young. And Doug is like even goofier and just like, I don't know. He's bullshitting the Michael Hoover guy so much. And oh, yeah. It's just hilarious to
he's
see.
He's just like trying to, you know, pull the strings. And Amy's just like, this is not how things are done. But I mean, I guess they know more than I do. They're the FBI. I guess I'll just stand over here. But yeah. It's just kind of like, it turns into a natural environment and they're able to get a lot
of information. So while they're there, they, of course, are interviewing him and they sit him down and it's just like so painful to watch him talk. We'll play a little clip of it. But like the whole time he's just like, his mouth must be dry as fuck because he's like
smacking.
Just making these weird noises. And he just, it's like a robot talking to us, but we'll go ahead and play it for you.
And, I was a little klutzy. The People magazine and my towel fell out of the backpack, fell into the water, and got all wet. I ended up throwing those away on the way to the car. And then after I was coming home, I decided to stop and get provisions for dinner. So I stopped at the McQuaid supermarket and picked up a few things, and I never got a chance to read the magazine, and there it was right there at the checkout stand, so I bought one. And when I got home, I was leafing through it, and we had the McDonald's Monopoly game, and it had instant prize winners on it, or it had the quick pick, whatever you call them, I don't know what they're called. And the first one I peeled off, I believe, was Pennsylvania Avenue. And the second one I peeled off was $1 million instant prize winner. And it was like, wow, is this for real? And then I followed the directions and made the calls and talked to the people. And it was for real.
Amy's just used to getting a story. But for me, I'm putting legs to that. Mm-hmm. And he was mentioning some grocery store. And so I go, which one? Is it right here? Hey, can you take us there? He goes, sure. You know, he's feeding off the energy part. No, I wasn't about to stop that. That was great. It's a field trip, right?
Damn it, Doug. You are taking your role a little bit too seriously because it is not a field trip. It is still an FBI investigation.
Yeah. And at this point, Doug is just like, take us to the beach where you were that day. Take us to the supermarket where you bought the magazine. Like, just things to make him feel comfortable. And of course, like, he's going to do everything that he says because there's a camera crew there. They're with McDonald's. Like, he just kind of feels like this is all just official. No one really knows what's normal except for Amy and whoever would be with her normally. But they do all the stuff. And Doug is pretty much getting all the information of him just pretty much incriminating himself. Because he lied to McDonald's about how he acquired the ticket. He lied about all these things. And all these things.
He lied about going to get provisions for dinner?
Yeah, like, and I mean, it just sounds like really stupid. The story's just super long.
Why would you? Okay, first of all, I'm not spending like $7 on a magazine, but I'm definitely not spending it on the same magazine twice. I don't know. It's just such a bullshit ass story. But
oh yeah, for sure.
And anyways, Doug keeps asking more questions, and basically, he's giving Michael enough rope to just take care of it himself.
And they're just like, we're gonna use all of this in court. Like, we're gonna use all this against them to show that they lied, show that they broke the rules, and like, we're gonna charge them for it. And this man has no clue what's happening. He's just incriminating the fuck out of himself. He's just standing there holding this big ass fucking check, grinning from ear to ear, and it's just so fucking stupid. It's just so dumb, but it's funny because these people don't realize, like,
they have gotcha. Yeah,
Like, this is the gotcha moment.
And like, there are also, like, it's like, oh, I got my $1 million. Now I'm also getting my 15 minutes of fame. Hell yeah, I'll sit here and bullshit you all.
I was like, I mean, I feel like most of them got paid for these, like, press things, probably.
Or thought that they would.
Or they got, like, free travel or whatever. So they're getting pampered and stuff. So, like, I mean, that's also part of kind of the package deal of getting these winnings is that you get to do a bunch of press shit. They're going to have you on, like, Good Morning America. Like, people are going to want to talk to you. You get a lot of publicity. But anyways, Doug starts to ask more poignant questions to help their investigation.
So basically, Doug is like, so how are you going to spend this money? And Michael's like, oh, I'm going to buy a boat. And Doug's like, oh, cool. What are you going to name it? In the back of Doug's mind, he really doesn't give a fuck. He's like, we're fixing to seize this because he bought it with stolen money. But anyways, Michael literally tells him, oh, I would name it Ruthless Scoundrel. Like, really? Could you have made it any... You couldn't have named it, like, Sail On or something? I don't know.
That Ruthless sounds dumb. Scoundrel. You clearly should never own a boat.
Listen, I wouldn't own a boat.
Sail On.
But if you've ever... Okay.
Sail On.
So I've been down to, like, the Bahamas, and all the boats have stupid names. Even Ruthless Scoundrel is a stupid name, but...
It's all dumb. It's all incriminating, and Doug is just, like, eating the shit up. And, like,
Doug did the most beach, for this investigation. Yeah,
the whole beach trip is just a fucking mess. They do get the boat quote, but, like, besides that, like, this drunken kid runs up, steals the fucking giant check, which, of course,
it's nobody... not even real.
Yeah, we all know the giant check is just a fucking prop. You can't take that to Wells Fargo and, like, cash that shit. So he was just like, why did... And, like, Doug's FBI training fucking kicks in.
Chases the guy down in, like, dress shoes and tackles him. Yeah,
like, tackles him. He's just like, I mean, I just thought I would, you know, I just saw all those zeros and I just thought I had to steal it. Ha, 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 whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it's just a whole fucking mess.
Doug, I'm sure Amy could have, like, blown this. Yeah, Doug could have just made this so much worse.
It was just stupid, but anyways.
Again, they got lucky.
They do.
Shamrock Productions, baby.
Yeah, so we go back to the FBI and they're still wiretapping Mr. Hoover's phone.
And I don't think that they realized just how easy that Michael was going to make it for them to catch his ass. But this is what they hear.
Listen to this.
The feeling from him on the phone call was, man, I got them snowed. They believe, you know, it was that. It was that. I mean, it was perfect. It's exactly what you're after. He's talking, man, you're not going to believe it. This director asked about the name of my boat, and I said, Ruthless Scoundrel. And they're just laughing on the phone how funny that was to them, because they knew they had lied and had stolen this money from McDonald's.
In that call, effectively what he's doing is confirming beyond any doubt that, you know, he didn't win it.
It just doesn't get any better than that. It's like high fives.
That was why you get up on these wiretaps. So we're hearing how they did it. At the time, we didn't know how big this was. We knew of some, but we didn't know it all.
So at this point, the name Uncle Jerry is starting to raise some eyebrows and perk some ears. And they kind of zoom out on all this and they start looking at all the winners. And they're kind of like, like, how does this all connect? And they finally figure it out when, dun, dun, dun.
All these phone calls include one person, Jerome Jacobson, also known as Jerry Jacobson, the absolute head of security for Simon Marketing.
Oh, you don't say, the head of Simon Marketing security? Interesting. Well, now that we've revealed that bombshell, that will be the end of episode one. There are 5 more episodes in the McMillian series, but we are definitely trying to make this maybe like 2 or 3 more episodes long. I'm finishing out this episode by myself today for reasons that we won't disclose, but give us a follow on all social media platforms at High Time for True Crime. You can email us at hightimefortruecrime@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you guys come back for more McMillions.